welcome him into this place where we are for the moment, to recognize, as we did with our younger ones, that they too are welcome to be a part of what we are doing. And as you've done that, and as you have shared in the bread and the wine, a remembrance of what God has done for us through his Son, and welcomed him into your heart and welcomed him into this fellowship that is the Hillsboro body of believers as we gather together, and visitors who have taken the time to join with us. As we've done that, what we have done, maybe not realizing, and maybe not always aware, but we have welcomed the Father. And what could be more important than welcoming the Father into this relationship of ours? Mark 9:37. Anyone who welcomes a little child on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also my Father who sent me. Welcome matters. Hospitality matters. Romans 12:13. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. And so our welcome is not just a gathering around a table, as important as that might be. Our gathering is also a recognition that when needs are there, that as we have welcomed the Father, as we have practiced hospitality, we have shared in the needs of those around us. And then that rather cryptic passage in the 13th chapter of Hebrews that always leaves us wondering, well, did that happen? Was that person an angel? And that second verse, which simply says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Tom Rainer is the former president and CEO of Lifeway. He's also authored numerous books. I don't know how many of them. Several of them I have read. I like his books because they're short. They're easy to read, and they have just a few words on each page. It just fits right in with the See Jane and Dick and Tom and Harry Run and all of those kind of books. So they work for me, and it's obvious that he has worked with people and understands a lot of what goes on with church. And his books are primarily designed to help those who are doing church, you might say, do church better. He's got good illustrations. He's got helpful advice. I also empathize with who he is because he's a consultant after his leaving Lifeway and his work there as their CEO. He's continued his work as a consultant, working with churches to help them do church better, be more involved with what God has called us to be. But I appreciate what he's overcome in his self-revelation about who he is and his personality to allow him to do the things that he does. And here's his quote. I'm an introvert. If introversion were a spiritual gift, it would be my dominant spiritual gift. I would rather work in a room alone than work in a room with people I hardly know. And I will quote Curly of Three Stooges fame. I resemble that remark. So I understand a little bit about how he feels and what he has to overcome to do what he knows is important to do. And much like Tom, well, I've grown, and I'm able to greet people now and not go to a corner and just be there by myself. Because it's important that we recognize the interaction that occurs as community, as we draw closer to each other and are involved more with each other. One of his recent little books, and I'm borrowing heavily from it this morning, is Becoming a Welcoming Church. Hillsboro is a friendly place. We're a welcoming church. And that's a good thing, and that's what we are called to be. Hillsboro has Ron Feenstra, also known as the Rice Krispie Elder. And if you visited here for any amount of time, Ron has sought you out, and he has found you, and he has given you a Rice Krispie treat. And if you are visiting with us this morning and haven't had yours yet, Ron's kind of tall, he's easy to recognize, and he'll have his Rice Krispie treat ready for you. But most of us have forgotten what it's like to walk into a strange place for the first time. And Ryan Bouch is going to help me this morning. So Ryan, you get to begin making your way down. As I tell you the story of what often happens in ministerial settings, we don't do meetings much anymore, but in the good old days when we had meetings, then whoever the preacher was, and I was in that role at times, often during the week when the evening service was going to be, they would bring you to their home and you would dine with the individual. That's all well and good, but it's kind of hard to even stay awake as the preacher after you've had a big meal. You never knew what house you might wind up in, or what the food might be, or what the circumstances might be. Well, one preacher wound up in a house that was obviously very modest, with a couple, had no children, with a couple that you could tell they were struggling just to get by day, but he was very gracious. And so he sat at the dinner table and he ate with them, and he noticed that the dog was just standing, or just sitting right beside him, staring intently at him as he ate. And he didn't want to say anything, didn't want to embarrass the couple that he was with. But finally, as it happened throughout the meal, he said, am I supposed to give this dog something? Is that why he's looking at me at all the time? And the wife said, no, you have his plate. It's the only extra one we had. So you never know what's going on and what people are thinking when they visit with you, what situation you might find yourself in, and how uncomfortable it might be. All right, Ryan, and the reason I'm bringing Ryan up is because he speaks with an English accent, and so anything he says seems remarkable. It doesn't really matter whether it is. And most of the things that he say, that it is very remarkable. Ryan and I were talking the other day, and about why he and Caitlin and Josie, and is Josie bilingual? Will she know English and English? We'll find out as time goes by. But we're talking about how you got here at Hillsboro and some of the other places that you have visited that are not to be named and may not even be in this city. And so, Ryan, what happened when you went to a certain spot to sit? And you have to get right up there in the microphone.
Okay, can you hear me? Great. I'm not going to name the congregation.
May not even be in the States.
Yeah, right, thank you. Yeah. But we did go to a particular area, place, and we were there to worship, me and Caitlin. We were looking for a church to become members of, and during that search, as we approached a chapel and we took our seats, a couple of people turned around and looked at us and said, we should have reserved our seats. So I thought, wow. I thought that's probably not the right place for me and my family to maybe look at being a member of. So we thought it was a bit of a joke and thought maybe they would crack a smile, but there wasn't a smile. And so we continued to stay and had a brave face about it all, and then after that we never returned.
All right. Now, thank you, Ryan.
Okay.
And that's it. Yeah. Or I'll sit down if you want to take the rest. Either way, it's okay. And I don't know whether that's happened here, but I've got a solution for you as we move through this morning, because I know that kind of, we've got our spots, we've got our places we like to be, we've got the group that we like to be around, and so I understand that. I haven't spotted the Weatherfords. Weatherfords, where are you? Okay, back here in the back. Is Graham with you? All right, Graham, stand up. Graham McDonald is from Scotland. He speaks a different English even than Ryan speaks, but you would also enjoy hearing him. And if you haven't met Graham, I hope you will take the opportunity after we dismiss to do that. He works, and one of the reasons I wanted to mention that was Camp Heatherbell. And the Weatherfords have been in Scotland for several months. They're back home with us now. But one of the big impacts as they worshiped with the church there in Scotland was what Graham and Adam do with Camp Heatherbell. And we know the importance of what happens with camp here, and others of you have grown up in camp situations to know that. But Camp Heatherbell is one of those unique opportunities to bring in young people who may have no connection with the church at all. And so for decades, the church there in Scotland has been working with Camp Heatherbell. Graham's visiting in the States for several weeks, about to go home in another week. But back there, and I hope you get a chance to meet him. We've got a lot of connections as you talk with Graham and Adam, the other minister that's there in Scotland at that church. A lot of connections that are a part of this Hillsboro church. As throughout the world, we have the opportunity to be welcoming. Growing up as a preacher's kid, I went to meetings a lot of my young life. And when you go to meetings, my parents were not as gracious. Maybe I shouldn't say this. Maybe they were just as gracious as they should have been. But they didn't say, well, why don't you just stay with us for a comfort level? They sent me to class. And whatever class it was and wherever it was, and not knowing anybody, it's a little embarrassing. And I'll never forget one of the teenage classes I went to. And I don't know whether it was the teacher or the youth director, excuse me, or whoever was handling the class, the whole class was being welcoming to visitors, which was what I was. Not a single person spoke to me. Now, you know, you can put this into practice. I'm one of those. It's easy to find our comfort level with where you are. And to forget that there are individuals who walk into this assembly without any comfort level for what's here. Now, I realize, and I will go ahead and confess, that if you are visiting with us this morning, you're already cringing and going, I don't need to be overwhelmed by everybody. I know it's awkward. I understand that. But this is when most of us are together. So it's the easiest time to have this type of discussion. In Rainer's work, he surveyed a lot of churches to find out what worked, what helped, what was not helpful. And I won't ask you to decide what was the number one reason that people weren't comfortable when they visited a church. I'll tell you what they found out in their research. In their surveys, the number one reason visitors didn't return to a particular church was their discomfort with the stand and greet. And if you've been in churches where that's done, it's done for the purpose of trying to get to know people. But for visitors, it's often something that's very uncomfortable. Let me just quickly go through the other nine reasons, because he came up with the top 10. Unfriendly church members, unsafe and unclean children's areas, no place to get information, bad website, poor signage, insider church language, boring or bad church services. Now, I was grateful that was number 8, and it wasn't at the very top of the list. I'm not surprised it's on the list. And then the one that Ryan and I were sharing was the last one. Members telling guests that they were in the wrong pew or chair, and then dirty facilities. Here were the top positives. And I know this is a little unique for what we do on a Sunday morning, but here are the top positives. And I want you to think about them, and I want you to let them sink in, because of those of us who this is home, it is our responsibility to welcome the little ones, because when we welcome them, we welcome Jesus, and we welcome Jesus, we welcome His Father. And in the view of God, we are all His little ones. So that idea of this is my pew, this is my seat. Well, this isn't just about being polite. It's about welcoming in the name of Jesus. And I had never thought of the number one thing that visitors appreciated. In all my years, in all my desire to try to be in part of a fellowship where we are welcoming and engaging, I had never thought of this. Number one thing that is appreciated is not, this is my pew, you can't sit here. The number one thing, why don't you sit with me? Seems fairly simple. But I'd never really thought about it, because I know where I'm supposed to sit. And they may not want to sit there. But the number one thing a visitor appreciated was somebody finding them and saying simply, why don't you sit with me? Some of the good things that happen in a church setting become the challenging things. When we dismiss in a few moments, there will be what we call the holy huddles all over this auditorium. You're not calling the play, and you're not deciding what the Titans will run in their next play, but it's the holy huddle of people that you know, people that you're comfortable with, people that you want to share something with. And as good as that is, sometimes it eliminates everybody else from being a part of the holy huddle. Unless I'm very proactively looking for the individual to say, let me involve with you for a moment. This Wednesday night, or this last Wednesday night, I noticed an individual that I didn't know. And if it's somebody that I don't know, I try to go find out who they are. Sometimes, and I did it this morning, it's somebody that's here all the time. It's just, it takes me a while. Another 50 or 60 years, I'll be gone. Won't matter. But it takes about that long for me to figure out who's here and who's not. And so I noticed an individual, and I also noticed that one of our members was there with her. And Andrea Keckley had noticed an individual sitting by herself, and Andrea had done this very thing. She'd gone, and she was sitting with him. Well, after the individual left to be involved somewhere else, I said, Andrea, what did you know her? She said, no, I just saw her sitting there alone. And in doing that, welcomed in the name of Jesus. Well, that takes me getting out of what may be my comfort zone and what may be that huddle that I always want to be a part of. And say, others matter as well. Second thing, people introduce themselves. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, mine usually starts with the apology that I may have introduced myself before and I may do it again. It may take me a while, but that's okay. We'll work together on that process. Third thing, there was clear signage. Fourth thing, there was a clearly marked welcome center. And the fifth thing, and I have a feeling it's fifth because not everybody has children with them at every time they visit a church. I have a feeling if you just ask parents of young children, that this would move right on up. The kids love the children's area. I'm grateful for Sheila and all the work that she's done, exhibited this morning as our children shared their verse and their song with us. If you were part of the event yesterday, the hayride didn't happen because of the weather, but it was a great time inside. And if you were a part of that, you know the love this church has for children. And Sheila and a host of volunteers that work with those younger children. And then they move them right on in. And then Joseph and Meg take over. And Joseph and Meg take those children who have been welcomed within this church throughout the time that they have been here. And as they move into those challenging teen years, Joseph and Meg are there to be an encouragement for them. And then after they leave that area, we've got lots of volunteers that work with the college group and are involved with them. And then as you reach the point of being an adult, nobody, you're on your own. But that's where we all come together to say, this is what church is all about. From nursery to high school to university, I am grateful for the emphasis that this church places on people. Children's area was secure and sanitary. We do a lot of sociological research on what happens with various generations. And the millennial generation born between 1980 and 2000 is the largest generation in American history. So baby boomers, we have been outdone. For the longest time, we were, it's not the most compelling illustration, but we were the rat and the snake. And that's just, the big bulk that moves through. Well, we've been replaced. And the millennials now have that role, 78 million strong. One out of four millennials is a consistent attender in a church service in the United States somewhere. It means three out of four. Three out of four are part of our mission field. Now what you find and what you notice is often as children begin to come into that relationship, there's a return. But there's a battle that we face. It was last, maybe a couple of weeks ago, just in the little USA Today section in the paper. There was this snippet. Share of Americans with no religious affiliation growing. The portion of Americans with no religious affiliation is rising significantly in tandem with a sharp drop in the percentage that identifies as Christians. According to new data from Pew Research Center, based on telephone surveys conducted in 2018 and 2019, Pew said Thursday that 65% of American adults now consider themselves Christian, down from 77% in 2009. Meanwhile, the portion that describes its religious identity as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular now stands 26%, up from 17% in 2009. There's a field white for harvest, and it's out there. And part of what we do as the body of Christ in welcoming to the Father is find out how to begin to build those relationships. The parents of these little children that the millennials are having, they want their children to be safe and protected. Some of us grew up in the era where we were told when we left the house in the afternoon, be back by supper. If you're not, you don't eat. Didn't really care where we were or what we were doing or where we were going. Probably cared a little more. But we were pretty free, pretty flexible. Well, there's a change in that attitude in these days. Gene Tinge has a book called iGen. The subtitle is what captivates me. Here's the subtitle. Why today's super connected kids are growing up less rebellious, more tolerant, less happy, and completely unprepared for adulthood. There's a danger there. There's a warning in what goes on, and for the parents of these children, safety is one of the biggest issues that they face, especially safety from sexual predators. Over the last two decades, over the last 20 years, the biggest church litigation that takes place is because of sexual impropriety. That's the number one, child abuse. It's not why we go the extra mile to protect our children. We go the extra mile to protect our children, maybe even putting those of us who are adults in discomfort over restrictions, over expectations. We go the extra mile because that's the welcome of Jesus. For the little ones, and when we welcome them, we welcome Jesus and the Father. I would have thought, and Jeremy is our uniformed officer with us today, a very gracious and friendly individual, and thankful that we have that ability. And I would have thought that'd been a turnoff for people. Why am I walking into a church building that has a police car parked out back and an officer standing right there? But it's not. It's something very welcomed by people when they enter a facility. Because of that idea, and in countless interviews, it showed just the opposite, that security was appreciated. Last few things. Guest parking was available. And I can't remember who it was. You probably remember who you were that told me this. Right before we did your introduction as a new member and to welcome you in, one of your comments was, well, it's my last Sunday get to park in guest parking. And yeah, it is, but there's still plenty of parking here and able to get. So some of you may be holding off waiting to keep that guest parking. Three other things. No stand and greet time. The members were not pushy. And the guest card was simple to fill out. I have no idea what a complex guest card might be, but maybe it's the millennial generation and we've challenged them just a little bit and haven't learned to work on the lines. So those were the things. That's what helps. Now this is kind of in-house, and I know that. One of the great blessings that Hillsborough has is the fellowship meal that we share on a Wednesday night. And as we gather together and people come from all over and guests are with us, and people come to share in that fellowship meal. And it takes me back to what the church was doing on the days after Pentecost when they were all together. And they were all together in each other's homes and they were eating and they were breaking bread together. And they were sharing the fellowship of God together. Here's reality. What happens in the first 10 minutes when someone enters our door, when a first-time guest arrives, that will largely determine whether he or she will return. That's why Paul gets the first few minutes. It's a good thing. You enjoy. You get to hear what's going on. You get to share some sadness, but you also get to find the joy and the good things that are taking place. So I know some of the feeling that exists this morning. What kind of a sermon was that? I'm aware. It's a mission month sermon. Living to share the good news across the ocean, across the nation, and across the street. We'll be praying for the safe return of Andy Holliday and Ethan Hufford and John Mason. They're doing mission work right now in Honduras and El Salvador, and they'll be returning today, returning tomorrow, across the ocean, across the boundaries of the United States, within the States, and across the street. So what today's all about is across the street. We've said a lot about our missions, and we have one more Sunday where we'll spend some time with mission. And you got handed a yellow envelope, and I'm grateful for the D6 group and for the young people that helped hand them out. Hard to turn down a child. It's hard to do when it's a child. So there's some instructions there. And we haven't said a whole lot about how this is to take place. But this envelope, and inside there's a card, and you're an adult, you can read the instructions, and you can know what the giving is all about. And we've got a ways to go to get to our goal of $85,000, which is what we would like to have for these special efforts. So if you want to know specifically what it takes, you take your average weekly contribution that you make, and you multiply it by 2.3. For those of you who are accountants, 2.29797997, it's one of those perfect numbers that goes, or imperfect numbers that goes on forever and ever. So if you're given $100 on a regular weekly basis, then you need to do that, and you also need to put $230 in here. Some of you will do much more. It's hard to imagine, and I know the other thing I'll hear, well, I just can't do that. We got a welcome, got a greeting from Abby Feenster last week, and she's one of our mission efforts to help pay for her health costs, to help pay for that insurance, to help pay for her living expenses. You'll notice that nowhere in the literature did it say to help pay her for what she's doing. It's free. She's giving her time. All she's asking is that we help her get there, we help her be fed while she's there, and we help her get home after the months that she'll spend there in Africa. So for me to then say, you know, I can't do a little extra, that just doesn't really resonate when you know what others are doing. Welcome is one of the signs that community is alive. A sign that we aren't afraid to have you join with us, that we don't mind the questions, the concerns that you may have, the doubts, the skepticism that may be yours. We're glad you're here. Because we know what we bring into this world is a treasure chest of truth and peace. And we want to share it. If a church is closing her doors, that's a sign that hearts are closing as well. And some of the final words that Jesus had to say as he shared with those who were listening. And it's from the English Standard Version. I like the way it reads. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. That's what church is all about. To welcome in the name of Jesus, and knowing that as we do that, we welcome in the name of the Father. And it's the welcome that He gives. It's not my welcome, it's His welcome. So He invites you. He invites you into fellowship with Him. He invites you to be His, to be a part of this kingdom living that He offered because of His death and resurrection. Believing that Jesus is God's Son. That same death and resurrection in the waters of baptism is shared to be a part of community, a part of fellowship, a part of telling the good news across the ocean, across the nation, and across the street, and to the person right beside you, as we stand and sing.